Two Sundays ago, I completed the series I was preaching about bringing the blessing home. We talked about the ways that you can bless your family according to the Old Testament pattern and had a great time. If you remember, my last sermon about that came from the time when Jesus joined his disciples in the upper room and they shared together in his washing of their feet. And I really thought when I wrote that, I was done talking about the power of the blessing, but I realized I wasn't quite finished yet with the blessing or with the upper room. So this morning, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I want to invite you to return with me to that very sacred place. Jesus had led his disciples into Jerusalem. The disciples thought they were coming for Passover. Passover is a really special observance in the midst of the worship of the Jewish people. And every year, the folks would gather together in Jerusalem so that they could celebrate the fact that God had redeemed his people and rescued them from Egypt. The disciples thought, that's why we're here. We have come so we can share the Passover with everybody else. But the Lord had so much more in mind. Only Jesus knew he had come to Jerusalem for the final time. He had come not to observe the sacrifice, but to become the sacrifice. To give his life for the redemption of all of mankind. He also knew this would be his last opportunity to bless the men who had been with him from the beginning of his ministry, who had followed him across Israel for 3 years and watched as he taught and as he touched and as he changed lives. None of them would ever forget what happened that night. We know what an impactful thing it was to share that time in the upper room, because this is one of the stories that all four of the gospel writers felt led to include in their gospel. We want to tell you about what the Lord did in the upper room. It was a night when he would bless them in a way they had never been blessed before and would never be blessed again. It was the night when Passover became the Lord's Supper for all who believe. So how did he bless them? Because the way that Jesus blessed his disciples on that night is the way he wants to bless your life today. I want us to think about that as we prepare to share in the Lord's Supper together. What did Jesus do to bless his men? The first thing I would tell you is this. He took them to a private place. If you read the Gospels, one of the things you discover is that those days leading up to the Passover had been incredibly busy times. Jesus had been teaching from early to late. He had touched lives with miracles. He had accomplished things that nobody could understand. He had fed the people physically, and he had fed the people spiritually. He had been there at their personal points of need. There had been inevitable conflict with the Pharisees and the scribes. The kingdom of heaven had been his message, and it had been a message for any who would believe. There had been very few opportunities in those last days for Jesus to spend time with just the 12. He hadn't had an opportunity to take them to the side and bless them the way he wanted to bless them before the events of the crucifixion would take place. And he knew this was the last time. There would be no other opportunities. If Jesus was going to bless his disciples, he was going to have to do it away from the public eye. So he made plans to be with the 12. He arranged for an upper room. He sent two of them ahead to prepare the feast. The rest followed as he led them to that quiet upper room. It was such a change of pace for them as they walked through the door of that room. All of a sudden, everything grew quiet. The hustle and bustle of the crowds was left behind. The noises and the commotions that had surrounded them for days were done away with. And now Jesus began to minister to them. That's how the Lord works. It's the way He works in your life and in mine. When He really wants to do something special in your life, He doesn't do it in the midst of the commotion. He will create a quiet place for you so you can hear the voice of God. It might be in the midst of a worship service. It might be when you're alone reading His Word. It might be one of those times when you're just out not even thinking about God, and all of a sudden He just shows up in your life. But He will create that quiet place where you can hear His voice. No wonder when Paul wrote to the Corinthians about the Lord's Supper, one of the most important instructions he gave was this: let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Let a man examine himself. That doesn't take place in the midst of all of the demands and turmoils of life. When a person takes time to examine themselves, it's because you intentionally step aside and you begin to ask yourself some of the hard questions. So how am I in my relationship with the Lord? Are there unconfessed sins that I've just refused to deal with? Have I been more concerned with doing things my own way than His way? You have to ask yourself the hard questions before you come to the table of the Lord. Every time we share the Lord's Supper together, something very special happens. And it happens in between the music and the preaching and the taking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. You know what happens? There are those moments when our deacons are making their way up and down the aisle and passing the plates and sharing the cup. And you can handle those moments in one of two ways. Either you can sit and wait for everybody to get their stuff so you can share it together, or you can take those moments and look inside and examine your heart and prepare your spirit so that when you partake of the bread, take of the cup, you know you're ready. That's an important time for us. Jesus took His disciples away to an upper room. And I really believe it's in the upper room times of your life that you really prepare your heart to follow the Lord. Those are the moments when you begin to experience the blessing that is the Lord's Supper. The blessing Jesus offered was intensely personal. He was instituting a new covenant. The old covenant, represented by Passover, looked back on what God had done in the past when He had delivered His people from slavery. The new covenant, which would be the Lord's Supper, would be based on the future and how He would deliver His followers through the power of the cross. It was a remembrance of who we are because of His sacrifice and His grace. As Jesus shared the elements with his disciples, it was an incredibly personal experience. He said to them, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood spilled for you." And I have no doubt that as he spoke those words, he looked into the eyes of every person present. And every one of them felt the power of the deeply personal attention of Christ. I want you to know, this is all about you. I want each of you, the 12 of you, to always remember this moment and what I did for you. The offer is just as personal today to everyone who trusts him right here, right now, in this place. There's a message that the table of the Lord preaches to you today. It says, "I died for you. When my body was broken, you were on my mind. When my blood was spilled, it was for the remission of your sin." The Lord's Supper is one of the most personal blessings you could ever receive. The blessing is not dependent upon something mystical happening to what you eat or drink. The bread is only bread. The juice is really just juice. The blessing is that Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross for you. And this is that powerful symbol of what he did for you. It's a symbol of the great exchange. He took your sin. He gave you his righteousness. You have eternal hope because of what he has done for you. This is the time when we remember that each of us can know that for you is spoken as though you were the only one. It's for you. And the Lord's Supper reminds us that there's still a blessing yet to come. Jesus said something very special to his disciples. He said, "I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What was he saying to them? What's he saying to you? He is saying the day is coming when his followers will sit around the table with him again. But the next time it won't be just 12. It will be the untold millions of those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And it won't be something that happens in an upper room in the midst of Jerusalem. It will take place in the eternal kingdom of God. And everyone who's placed their personal faith in Christ will be invited to that meal. And when the day comes, it will no longer be an observance of his sacrifice. It will be a celebration of his victory. So today I invite you to join in the Lord's Supper. Eat the bread, drink the cup, and remember the promise. The day is coming when we will do this together, not in remembrance of him, but in fellowship with him in his eternal kingdom. And thus we shall ever be with the Lord. So today we come to the table of the Lord, remembering what he has done for us and anticipating what he has promised to us and celebrating with the bread and the cup the fact that as believers, we belong to Jesus. Our sins have been forgiven. Our souls have been set free. And our hope is everlasting. All because of His body and His blood and His blessing. This is for you. So let me invite our deacons to come, and we'll gather together as we share in the Lord's Supper. For you to be freed from eternal death, Christ had to die. You must only believe. For you to be brought near to God, Christ had to be separated from Him. You must only believe. For you to be pardoned from sin, Christ had to be condemned. You must only believe. Christ purchased your redemption with His blood. You receive it with faith. God required His Son to suffer. He requires you to trust in that suffering. You rebelled. Christ suffered. It was for the remission of your sins. You believe. God saves. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the bread that we are to share this morning. We thank You, Lord, because it is the symbol of the broken body of Christ. Because we recognize that You made that promise. This is for You. I have become the sacrifice for You. So, Lord, as we share in the bread, help us, Lord, first to examine ourselves and then to receive the bread with gratitude and with faith. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me."
And in the same manner, He took the cup. Lord, we thank You for this cup. And God, we thank You that as we even remember the cup that You contemplated, that You considered, God, in the garden, God, the day before You would be crucified, Lord, the cup that You saw, the agony, the suffering and the pain, God, and just the sin of Your people. God, yet You didn't consider equality with God to be something to be used for Your own advantage, but God, You willingly went to the cross, God, for our sins. And so as we partake in this cup, Lord, will we remember, God, that will we also celebrate and be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, Lord, for the salvation that we have in You, for the blood that You willingly gave. In Christ's name, amen. This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. The Bible tells us that at the conclusion of the Lord's Supper, Jesus and His disciples sang a hymn, and then they made their way out to the Garden of Gethsemane and the events of the crucifixion. And we close our service today with a song as well, an invitation hymn. If you're here today and you need to know the redemption, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll come, I would love to introduce you to the Savior. If there's another decision God is calling you to make, you come. Let's stand together. Let's say. been a good day in God's house. Let me remind you that when we do the Lord's Supper, usually as we leave, there'll be deacons waiting in the lobby. They have plates. You can leave money there for the benevolence offering. And we take up this offering to bless those folks who have needs here in this local area. And if you'd like to participate, if you'll just drop some money in, if you need to leave a check, you can leave that as well. It's been good to be in God's house. We're going to close together now with a closing prayer and then one final song. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you help us to remember that we are the redeemed people of God, that your blessing is that you have taken our sin and you have given us your righteousness. And it's all because of the blood and the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, Father, as we go from this place, that we might bring honor to you and live as those people who have been transformed by the blood. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.